Couple of passages from the Old Testament this evening. I've heard people say before, and I know I've probably said it at some point or another, and maybe we all have, that that's my favorite passage from the Bible. That's my favorite story from the Bible. And we probably all have, you know, passages that maybe affect us in a certain way, you know, or accounts, whether it be Old Testament, New Testament, that really speak to us, that, you know, have really always hit home with us, we might say. Not necessarily they're our favorites, we like them all, but we have ones that we're partial to, I guess you might say. And sometimes, you know, your perspective of an account from the Scriptures changes when you get older. It changes when your life changes, when you have children, when you get older, when you, you know, go through certain life events, you might say. It changes your perspective. Not that the truth of the Word changes or the actuality and factuality of the account changes or what happened in the account changes, but the way you see it is different. You know what I'm saying? It's different, the way you look at it. It affects you differently. There's two passages we'll look at in Exodus chapter 17 and in Numbers chapter 20, probably we're all familiar with. In previous to Exodus 17, we find children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and God giving them passage across the Red Sea by His power through Moses, parting the sea, getting them safely across. And what was supposed to be, we might say, as Gilligan's Island, a three-hour tour, turned into 40 years. It was supposed to be a quick trip, we might say. They knew where they were going. They get through the sea. They go across. Boom, boom. They go to the Promised Land. Didn't happen that way. They ended up in the wilderness for 40 years because of what they did. But previous to Exodus 17, we find them coming out of Egypt and praising God. And then not just shortly after that, yearning for the flesh pots of Egypt and the food that they had, how great it was when they were in slavery, remember? And then in Exodus 17, we find them, as it says, chiding with Moses and murmuring. In Exodus 17, verse 2, and they said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide you with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water and murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord and saying, "What shall I do to this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And God goes on to tell Moses in the next verses what to do. He says, "Take the rod that you used to part the sea, stand before the people, take with you the elders." And he says, "I will stand before you on the rock in Horeb," verse 6, "and you smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink." And he did so on the side of the elders of Israel. God provided. Now, if we go over to the book of Numbers, in chapter 20, we find they're back in a similar situation, almost word for word, and almost the same events take place again in Numbers chapter 20. Verse 2, "There was no water for the congregation. They gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron. People chode with Moses and spake, saying, 'Would God that we had died, our brethren, when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there?'" Sound familiar? Same thing they just said. "Why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord in this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? Wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt, bring us into this evil place? It's no place of seed or figs or vines or pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink." And we find Moses and Aaron go before God, the tabernacle. And the Lord tells them in verse 7, into verse 8, "Take the rod gather the assembly together, you and Aaron, and speak to the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So shall you give the congregation of the beasts drink. And Moses does what God tells him to do. Moses took the rod from before the Lord, verse 9, as he commanded. Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. We know all the parallels we can draw with this story, and probably have all heard all those parallels drawn. But like I said, I always looked at this before as those old Israelites, you know. They ain't got no faith, and they're just weak, you know. And every time they turn around, they start griping and complaining, and here they go, and, you know. And we, I think, I know I do have anyway, I've always tended to be pretty hard on those people. You know, we give them a hard time. And maybe they deserve some of that. But, like I said, your perspective changes over the years. If you go back, and the reason I say that, if you go back to Exodus chapter 16, just previous to where we read before, they didn't always have that attitude. They weren't always like that. Not 16, chapter 15, Exodus 15, verses 1 and 2. Here they are fresh out of slavery, out of Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. And in verse 1 it says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song to the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation, and my father's God, and I will exalt him." If we go down further in this song that they're singing to God, in verse 13, it says, "Thou in mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation." Not the same song they're singing to Moses in the two instances we looked at, is it? They were singing that griping song to Moses. We're going to die. We don't have any water. We don't have any food. Just previous to that, they said, "Well, we don't have food." And God said, "I'll give you bread. I'll give you manna from heaven. You collect it each day." So that was provided. And they said, "Well, we don't have water." And so he said, "Through Moses, I'll give you water." He provided. But they changed their tune. See, here from being fresh out of Egypt, after they had been in this desert and wandering and going and doing, what changed? My perspective on this now is that this was faith versus frustration. I thought we'd talk about that for a moment this evening. Faith versus frustration. And if you want to think about it this way, it's to me, the easiest illustration is it's like a tug of war. It's just like a tug of war. On one end is our faith in God, our faith that he's going to provide. But even though we're in the desert, you know, that he's going to give water. And even though we're in the desert, he's going to give bread. And he's going to take care of us. That's on this end of the rope. On the other end of the rope is the frustration. And this applies to the Israelites, applies to Moses too. Over here's the frustration of trudging through the heat and the sand and the dealing with all the things you have to deal with and moving that many people through the desert. Day-to-day struggle. And that's what they were dealing with. That's what Moses was dealing with. Again, this is supposed to be a short journey, which turned into 40 years. But he's dealing with leading all these people. So you have that tug of war between, I know God, I trust God, I have faith in God, and then on the other end, but look what's going on. This is hard. I don't know if I can deal with this. And those two things are pulling against one another. And I think that's what you see here with with the people of Israel. Yeah, they knew they were slaves before. I mean, they're not stupid. They knew where they were and their lot in life when they were in Egypt. They were slaves. Yet, if you go back and read, they're yearning to go back there because it was so great. Again, faith versus frustration. They knew who God was. They had faith in God. They were God's people, for goodness sake. I mean, they're God's people. They had just seen the miracles he performed in Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, the other things that they'd seen. But then this attitude. Again, faith versus frustration. Frustration of the people, and again, frustration of Moses. Here Moses is leading all these people. And I think that's what you see when he strikes the rock instead of speaking to it. Maybe part, we don't know, but I mean, maybe part of it was, well, the first time I hit it and it worked, so I'll do that again. I don't think that's the case. I think Moses, maybe partially subconsciously, was part of it, but here he is once again. These people are trying, you know, they're ready to kill him. They're ready to stone him to death. That's what he tells God. And he stands before them and strikes the rock. I think out of frustration. And all the years and going through the wilderness and dealing with all the things that go along with moving that many people. And again, Moses knew God. Moses stood on Mount Sinai. Moses stood before the burning bush and talked to God. Moses had seen all the same things they'd seen that God had done. And we'll get to that more in a moment. But these people faced real hardships. And we do sometimes, and we deal with the same struggle of faith versus frustration. But a lot of times, our frustrations aren't really hardships, are they? We blow them out of proportion. I mean, I do. I think all of us probably do. You know, it's somebody that cuts you off in traffic, or it's some jerk you have to deal with at work, or, you know, that you're trying to be the better man, or whatever it is, you know. But it's not like a huge deal, we might say. To us, it is at the moment. We think, I'm just not going to make it through this. That's most of the things that we have to deal with. And we've got it pretty good. I mean, middle class, as Wayne said so many times, middle class Americans, we live like kings. I mean, really, compared to people in other parts of the world and especially people throughout history, and don't have a second thought about it most of the time. So most of ours aren't huge. Sometimes we do face real hardships. We have financial problems. We deal with grief and loss, family problems, health issues, real big problems that we have to deal with. And whether it's those little things that we think are big, or whether it's those big things that are big, we have that same struggle, don't we? Faith versus frustration. We know God. We've seen what God does and what he can do. We have faith in him. We're Christians. But at the same time, look what I'm having to deal with. This is hard, you know? And we waver. Just like they did. We get frustrated. We let that frustration win out, if you will. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And look at a passage from the New Testament that talks about this very thing, what we read here in Exodus and Numbers, and these other passages. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he talks about that. He said, I would not have you ignorant or unknowing how that all of our fathers were under the cloud, passed through the sea, were baptized into Moses in the cloud in the sea, and ate the same spiritual meat and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted, neither be idolaters or some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. What did Moses say? He said, why are you tempting God? And they're sitting there murmuring and complaining. He said, why are you tempting God? And that's what he says here. Don't let us do the same thing. Neither murmur you as some of them murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. And these things, he says in verse 11, happened to us for examples, and are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Notice verse 10, neither murmur ye. It's hard not to do sometimes, because that frustration wins out. We get frustrated. We let that overtake us. But if we look in Hebrews chapter 11, we see all the things that Moses accomplished. Look at what he did. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we're just talking about faith and examples of faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 24. He says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. It's all the things Moses did through faith in God. Look at all he accomplished because of faith. He did all those things through God, not through him. And that was part of the problem in what he did the second time when he struck the rock. He said, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Wham, actually hit it twice. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And God says, you didn't sanctify me before my people. That was the biggest problem he had. It wasn't him that was doing it, it was God that was doing it, and his faith in God. When we deal with that struggle of faith versus frustration, and we all do, we have to do the same thing. We have to tap into the strength that is only found in God. Moses couldn't have accomplished any of those things he did without God. Period. How successful do we think we are going to be without God, especially for eternity? We can't do it without him. We have to tap into the strength that's found not in us, but in God through Christ. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Everybody quotes that verse. We use it a lot. And it's the word of God. And it's strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But do we believe that? I'm asking myself that question too. Do we really believe that? We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Do we really believe that? You know, some people look at the Old Testament God. It's the same God, and we'll get to that, but they look at the Old Testament and say, well, that's a different God than we deal with. He was different then. He's a different kind of God back then than he is. No, he's not. It's the same God. Go back and look at 1 Corinthians 10. It said they drank of that spiritual drink, which was who? Christ. John 1, verse 1, beginning. He says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Who was there in the beginning? Christ. He was there when they parted the Red Sea. He was there when they drank from that rock that God provided water from. He was there when he brought the manna from heaven. And all the other things that he did. It's the same God today. He's not a less powerful God than he was then. Don't let anybody fool you. It's the same God today. He works today. He's powerful today. Through Christ, he says, we can do all things. And it's true. It's the same God And he's given us a gift greater than any that has ever been given, and that is Jesus Christ. It is a daily struggle that we have to deal with. And just like children of Israel, just like Moses, many other examples, even of those in Hebrews 11 that we find that had great faith, what happened from time to time? They wavered, didn't they? Our faith, as great as it may be, as much as we may believe, our faith may waver. Our resolve, as strong as it may become weak. Those things will happen to all of us. Don't fool yourself. That's why he says there in 1 Corinthians 10, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." So we don't get too big for our britches, as the saying goes, and think, "I'm above that. That can't happen to me." Yeah, it can. The important thing is we can't lose our faith. It's going to waver from time to time. We may lose resolve, but we can't lose our faith. That's when we're in danger, is when we lose our faith. When we lose our resolve, when we quit, that is when there's no hope until we come back to God. Paul talked about this in his writing, the flesh versus the spirit. And the battle was a constant daily battle that he had to deal with. And that's what it is. And it's easy when we're in this little bubble here in this building with fellow Christians to say, "I'm good. I'm great. I'm strong." But when you leave it, that's when it gets real, doesn't it? When you go out in the world and you have to deal with people cutting you off in traffic and the jerk at work and and the big, real issues that people have to deal with. That's when it becomes real, and that's when it becomes hard. And that's when that tug of war, that rope is tight between faith and frustration. Where are you tonight? Like we said, it's just like Philippians 4:13. It doesn't get any simpler than that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do we believe that? Do we put our faith in that? Where are you tonight as we sing the song that's been selected, and while together we stand and while we sing?